This meeting of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors will now come to order. Please rise for a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah. There are no presentations this morning. We will go right to public comment. If anybody would like to address this board on an item that is not on the agenda, this will be the time to do it. I have one request to speak from Jerry Powers, the Chief Probation Officer.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Jerry Powers, Chief Probation Officer. Last week I told you I would bring our department's newest member to give you a demonstration. I'd like to introduce you to Bear, the department's drug detection canine, and his handler, Chris Strode. They are fresh from training. Bear has actually been in training for a little over 5 months before Chris got to work with him and before Bear got to train Chris. Chris and Bear have just finished 160 hours of canine training and master training. The majority of the training, quite frankly, is master training for Chris to figure out what the dog is telling him. Bear is just under 2 years old. He'll be two next month, and he's quite proficient at what he does. Chris just told me in the back of the room, Bear's sense of smell is 10,000 times greater than the human sense of smell. So pretty impressive. We're going to do a demonstration for you today. Chris is going to give you a little information about what you're going to see and what he's going to do with Bear. Just a little background on Chris. Chris has been with us for about 7.5 years with the probation department. He started out in our juvenile hall as a corrections officer. He's now a deputy probation officer too. Chris has done a great job in his training with Bear, and he has now had Bear out in the field. He's been out to a couple of probation residences already. He's been working in our facility doing some drug detection in our facility. Bear and Chris undergo 16 hours of additional training every month with the regional county canine groups, all the other law enforcement canines, and he's very proficient. So I will let Chris give you some background about what you're going to see this morning, and if you have questions after that, we will be more than happy to answer them. When Chris starts his demonstration, what I'm going to ask is that no one in the audience needs to move unless you have something you shouldn't have, and you should probably leave right now. We will not be sniffing any individuals today. We will simply be sniffing some of the area around here. When Chris starts, if the board members, if I could get each of you up on the dais to move over on the wall behind Supervisor O'Brien, we would appreciate that. I will give Bear some room to work, and I will turn it over to Chris now, and he will give you some brief remarks.
What I'll be doing today with Bear is essentially a game of hide and seek. He's been trained to believe his toy smells like narcotics. So in his mind, he's doing nothing more than searching for his toy, sniffing for his toy. So you'll see him start sniffing. When he comes into an alert, you'll see his body language will change, his tail will start wagging differently, his body posture will change, you'll hear him start breathing different. Those are all some of the things I'm looking for. When he does pinpoint it, he's trained to sit and stare at the source of the odor. So that's what you'll be doing. I have certain patterns that I work. I always work left to right when I engage him. Dogs only see in black and white, so I keep everything the exact same every single time so it doesn't confuse the dog. So when you come up here, you'll see me. He's already starting to do it because I've got a hold of his collar. He knows it's work time. So I'm going to come back around, and I'm going to start on this wall, start working all the way around. Nothing, ladies?
Yes, sir.
All
are, you don't have to read the law. That's an alert. See how he's all over it?
Good boy!
That's what he's been saying.
Good boy! And what we've been doing is cotton balls, and Chris supervised your cotton balls that were saturated with narcotics.
Now he's back sniffing. I tricked him. He thinks his coin got thrown. Now he's back looking for his coin. Now his air nose up in the air, he's air sending. You got it. That's it.
That's
who's sitting in this chair?
Got a lot of deputies, they didn't want to hurt.
Okay, you can be seated. Supervisor DeMartini, I know you're a farmer.
I thought you were the county council.
Have you had any
problems here? The drug sniffing dog, and then we have our department head for child support services. We're not going to get anybody who want to come see these meetings anymore.
interestingly enough, just as kind of a little side note, we these cotton balls that they say have been saturated with drugs, really what happens is they use these ball jars, you know, the canning jars, these big jars, and they put the training samples inside there, inside Ziploc bags, and then the cotton balls go inside there. Well, the cotton balls get, as the dog would call it, saturated. You or I wouldn't think it's saturated because the drugs are still inside plastic bags inside this ball jar. Well, Chris was telling me the other day that the dogs get so they can get so in tune that they can actually distinguish between the cotton and the drugs on the cotton ball. That's how finely tuned their sense of smell can be. So you can't always train them to the cotton like we did today. They actually also have to be able to sniff out the actual drugs. So we have drug samples that they'll use as well. So very, very finely tuned piece of machinery there that we purchased thanks to the board support for this. And I would say that if you are on probation in this county and you have search conditions, that Bear will be at your house at some point in not too distant future to pay you a visit. And hopefully it's a very quick visit and we're on our way, because if you do have drugs in your house or your vehicles, I promise you Bear will find it. Any questions for Chris or Bear?
Questions for Mr. Powers? I just have one. What is the dog trained to sniff for? Marijuana and what else?
Today he was sniffing marijuana, which is why I asked if you'd added a new crop. to your farming rep.
We haven't planted it yet for this year.
Yeah. I'll let Chris answer that.
Bear is trained in the detection of marijuana, methamphetamine, crystal methamphetamine, heroin, and cocaine.
And there's no way that he distinguishes the difference between them. He just sits down and just reacts no matter what it is.
What Bear does is he simply detects the odor of the narcotics, not the actual narcotic itself. There's no way to tell what he's sniffing. All he's telling me is there's something, a narcotic, there's something illegal right there.
Supervisor Kiesa.
I just wanted to ask, you're probably searching for weapons and drugs, right, typically? Can dogs be trained for ammunition or?
Yes, they can. They're bomb dogs.
Okay.
Bomb dogs are trained on basically 5 or 6 different explosive types. Normally, gunpowder is one of those. But since he's a narcotic dog, as soon as he's telling me there's something illegal right there, that establishes probable cause to go ahead with a further search. Whereas a bomb dog can't do that because some explosives are legal to possess, apparently. But the difference is if a bomb dog finds something, it's usually a good time to go the other direction real fast.
Yes. Thank you.
We actually use dogs in the agriculture arena, too, to smell out agricultural pests, not just drugs, bombs, those kinds of things, but also ag pests. We don't use our dog for ag pests, but there are dogs out there that they use for that. Any other questions?
Any questions for Mr. Powers?
Thank you.
Seeing none, thank you for the presentation. It was terrific. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to address this board on their public comment period? Okay, seeing none, we will go on to the consent calendar. Does any member of this board wish to pull an item from the consent calendar?
I'd like to pull B2. Question?
Okay, we are going to pull item B2. Anyone else? Okay, I'll entertain a motion excluding item B2.
So moved.
Second.
A motion made by Supervisor Grover, seconded by Supervisor Monteith. You approve the consent calendar except for item B2. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. Okay, we will now go to item B2. And that is your question, Mr. Chiesa.
The grant was, if I read this correctly, the Homeland Security grant was for the year of 07 was in the amount of $356,270, and right now we're going to spend $267,174. Do we still have the excess funds available to us, or is this a one-time purchase for the, there's about $90,000 difference?
I would ask Chief Henshaw, would you like to come up and speak to that?
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring, Gary Henshaw, the Office of Emergency Services Fire Warden. On this particular issue, no, the additional funds were identified that way, but the specific expenditure for was the amount that has been identified here. As we talked the other day, we've spent a little over $3 million worth of Homeland Security dollars, and we had to reallocate those to meet the specific budget the way it was intended. So it's just for the amount that we had listed.
Thank you. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Further questions? Not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion's made by Supervisor Chiesa, seconded by Supervisor Monteith. Those in favor of approving this item, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. We will now go to item number B4, acceptance of the Sheriff's Regional Training Division 2008 Progress Report. Sheriff Christensen.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring, Adam Christensen, your sheriff.
here this morning to provide you with an update regarding the Sheriff's Regional Training Center. Now, I'm not sure that I can top Chief Powers' presentation, but I'm sure the Class 170 will give it their best shot. I can tell you, however, that I am very pleased and thankful for your support of the Narcotics Detection Canine Program at probation. Chief Powers' program is a great addition to the overall county program that we have. And as he mentioned, all of the handlers trained together, including the narcotics detection canines that are assigned at the Sheriff's Department in our Adult Detention Division, as well as our narcotics suppression units. And that being said, I want to present this morning information to you about what's happening at the Sheriff's Regional Training Center. You know, nearly 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years now, when I was sworn into office, we assumed command of this center, Post recertified everything to us, and amid predictions of failure and some other very challenging processes, we were able to bring this center from literal failure to one that is now the centerpiece of statewide training for peace officers. We've been recognized statewide for our efforts for excellence in law enforcement training, so much so that Post has now asked us to participate in evaluations of other training centers throughout the state in establishing a statewide standard and criteria for excellence in law enforcement training. And I can't begin to tell you how proud I am of what our staff has done under the command and leadership of Lieutenant Gordon. It's a multi-jurisdictional partnership, and I always speak to collaborative efforts and partnerships because, quite frankly, sharing the resources and costs with other agencies and protecting the community and providing a regional service is, especially in current economic times, the best way to protect our communities. With that, it's my pleasure to introduce Lieutenant Jim Gordon, who will share with you today what we've accomplished at the Sheriff's Regional Training Center. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff. Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board, CEO Robinson, and Mr. Doring. Thank you for allowing us to take this opportunity for a brief presentation. We certainly realize that there are many pressing issues before you, but we wanted to take an opportunity to stand here and tell you about the very many good things that are happening at the training center. It's, as the Sheriff talked about, it's just been over 2 years since we assumed management oversight of the training operations in partnership with cities and counties throughout the region. And in no small part, standing together with San Joaquin Delta College in providing basic law enforcement training. Thanks to the support of your board, we have graduated more peace officers than any time in the history of the center, 42 of which in the last 2 years have gone on to become deputy sheriffs for our own department. Many more serve communities throughout our entire region. We thought about creating a brief PowerPoint presentation for you this morning, but then we realized bringing our work product to you would be much more fitting. Allow me to introduce the men and women of Class 170, as well as my staff who have made our success entirely possible. Without their dedication and commitment, none of this would have been possible at all. The training center has two primary functions. First, we provide basic law enforcement training for entry-level law enforcement officers for an 8-county region, spanning from Amador County to our north, all the way south to Mariposa County. In all, we serve over 30 different law enforcement agencies. Basic law enforcement training is funded through an instructional services contract with our partners at San Joaquin Delta College. Second, we provide critical training to ensure our veteran officers maintain their skills to keep themselves and the public safe, and to ensure they remain compliant with the very complex set of training standards our state legislator has imposed upon them. Last year provided us with an opportunity to fulfill our quest of transforming our campus from a place that simply offers a certification to a place that offers a new way of life and defines the honor in public service. In years past, the only way to identify our building as a police academy was perhaps the sign out in front. Through the hard work and vision of many, our campus stands today as a symbol of honor, integrity, and fulfills the true meaning of public service, and is transformed from our workplace to our home. While the state of California prescribes what we have to teach to our new law enforcement officers, it's up to us on how we teach it. Our system of instructional design is carefully planned to ensure our students leaving our campus have achieved certain objectives. Our students learn what pride really means through their care of the facility, There are no taxpayer dollars associated with the daily upkeep of our training grounds. That responsibility falls to the students and the staff. It has become a custom for each class to leave their mark somewhere on the academy grounds. In doing so, they leave a legacy for newer classes to follow. Pride could have never been more evident than in last year's installation of our new sod on the track. Funded by a donation from the Simon Family Foundation, we began work at renovating an area which used to be dominated by knee-high weeds and hundreds of gopher holes to an area that exemplifies what a campus ought to look like. What sounded simple from the start turned into a complex project. With limited funding, we had to figure out a way to do more with less. Staff and students turned from their traditional roles to operating trenchers and constructing irrigation systems. When it came to installation day, the sheriff, all of our staff, and students put on their work clothes and began the process of installing nearly 100,000 square feet of new sod, line by line. 7 truckloads later, our mission was finally complete. We teach our students all about the term humility and service through our COPS Communities program, something we use to teach our students all about the true meaning of public service. Last year alone, our students performed an estimated 5,000 hours of service to the community, whether it was through community blood drives, construction projects on our campus, food drives, or offering a helping hand to our seniors. Our students leave our campus with a true sense of accomplishment. Most importantly, our students learn a life of what a peace officer really stands for, a life of honor and integrity. As the sun comes up each morning, you can hear these recruits standing in front of their flagpole, paying tribute to their flag and honoring their service by reciting the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics, all from memory. And it sounds something like this.
As law enforcement officer, my fundamental duty is to serve mankind, to safeguard lives and property, to protect the innocent against deception, to lead against professional intimidation, and to be fully entitled to disorder, and to respect the constitutional rights of all men, to liberty, equality, and justice. I will keep my private life unfolded in the capital of law, maintaining greatest confidence in the face of danger, scorn, or ridicule, to develop self-restraint, and be constantly mindful of the welfare of others.
Our work has not stopped there. Just months ago, we started a new tactical operations program, a 40-hour intensive format of training designed to meet all of our yearly mandated training requirements for active officers. The program has been enhanced for the safety of our officers and has gained recognition throughout areas in the state. We have developed a public safety leadership program geared towards exposing talented high school and college students to the critical issues facing public safety and performing community service projects in support of their findings. We've opened up our physical fitness program to all county employees and their families with hopes of offering a chance at a healthier lifestyle and the opportunity for citizens to see our campus. Our emergency vehicle operations course has grown tremendously, and we now offer courses to agencies throughout the entire state, as well as public education courses. Our corrections training program continues to grow, and we offer more training opportunities than ever before. Most of all, we've offered new definition the way law enforcement training ought to look, and has served as an example to many academies throughout the state and, in some cases, the nation. Our management structure offers the definition of what efficient delivery of services really means, and Stanislaus County can stand proud knowing we have established the blueprint for honorable and ethical public service training throughout our region. Thank you once again for your support. And with that, we'll take any questions from the board.
Are there any questions for Lieutenant Gordon?
Well, I don't have a question, but I do want to make a comment. I've had the opportunity to attend approximately, I think, 4 of your graduations, and I want to congratulate you. It is extremely impressive. I would invite anyone who has an opportunity to attend it, please do. The other thing I'd like to bring out is the fact that a few years ago, we had difficulty in finding young people willing to go in law enforcement and had a program, and those that were qualified. And the Sheriff's Department, rather than sitting and complaining about the problem, went out and resolved the problem by starting the academy and providing people in law enforcement throughout Central California. I do use this story over and over and over to let people know what you can do during difficult times if you have the leadership. And I want to commend you and thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Monteith.
Any further comments from the board? Okay, thank you, Lieutenant.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
There a motion to accept the Sheriff's Regional Training Division progress report?
So moved.
Second.
Motion's made by Supervisor O'Brien, seconded by Supervisor Grover. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. Thank you. We have no scheduled matters today. We will move to correspondence.
This board has received a second letter from Barco Purdon Buildings, Inc. regarding their plans to permanently close their facility plant, their manufacturing plant located at 530 S. Tegner, South Tegner Road in Turlock. The anticipated closure date was June 30, 2009, but is now scheduled to occur on March 31, 2009, per the Workers' Adjustment and Training Notification Act.
We refer to the Alliance WorkNet and the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a claim as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claim and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports? Supervisor Grover, would you like to say something about our trip tomorrow?
Chairman DeMartini and myself, CEO Robinson, and Chief Information Officer David Jones will be going to Washington, D.C. to discuss the legislative platform for the county with our representatives and some of our advisors back there. Be back there for a couple of days and hopefully get a little clarity on what's going on, although I'm not sure that's completely available. Well, while I'm speaking, I might acknowledge a trip that was made last Wednesday with a group of representatives from all of the eight Valley counties. And the second year that they've done this, spent the day in Sacramento discussing or listening for the most part to the leadership there on where the state is going and raising our concerns from the valley. And they seem to be pretty preoccupied with what they're doing and had no explanation for where we're going. But we made our case and hopefully they listened.
Thank you, Supervisor Grover. Anyone else have a report? Okay, seeing none. We'll go to the Legislative and Fiscal Management Report. Mr. Robinson.
Yes, thank you very much. Before I brief you on legislative matters, I would like to pause for just a moment and express my appreciation to Chief Powers and Sheriff Christensen for two exceptional presentations. I had the privilege of being part of the initial transition of the regional training center when we were facing a decision whether to discontinue the project in its entirety or go a different direction with the project. Sheriff Christensen was adamant that he, with Lieutenant Gordon at his side, could make this venture not only self-sustaining, but could make it a model for all in the state to follow. And he has succeeded, and more than succeeded, with the support and assistance of just an exceptional team. And you have my sincere appreciation for the work that you've done and that your staff has done. And so thank you very much for that. I sincerely appreciate it. On the state budget side, we have no good news. We do not yet have a budget that we can call in any way, shape, or form an adequate budget, or in fact a budget that even begins to describe the current economic state of the state of California and therefore its local municipalities. We did do some fairly significant research over the last several weeks to identify what the impact would be if the state were to discontinue payments for periods of time. And what we've identified is a one-month deferral of payments of those programs that have been identified by the state as probable in terms of deferral would cost the county about $11.76 million. The question is asked frequently if the county has the ability to cover that type of cash flow loss, and I would say for 1 month we certainly do. The problem and the challenge and the exposure is if the state determines that the $11.7 million should in fact be a permanent loan, as it has not been beyond the state in prior years to move in one direction initially and then later change their minds. I will say that while we can absorb a short-term $11.7 million cash drain, we certainly, as a public agency, do not have the capacity or the capability to absorb a long-term operating loss of $11.7 million on top of all of the other revenue shortfalls we're anticipating for the 2010-11 fiscal year. Excuse me, for the 2009-10 and the 2010-11 fiscal year. 3 month deferral we've anticipated at about $27.9 million, 7 month $53.48 million, and the proposed budget cuts that are on the table today would cost the county about $7.7 million. So big numbers. The chairman has sent a letter to all of our local delegation and indicating what the budget impacts would be on Stanislaus County and what the effects would be on our ability to conduct our own programs for the benefit of the residents of Stanislaus County. We are very concerned. We are aggressively and actively working to identify the impacts and communicate those impacts with our decision makers in Sacramento. Hopefully those efforts will be beneficial to us in the long term. That's all I have.
Now, Mr. Robbins, let me ask you a question. Besides the state withholding the money to fund their own programs, there are many federal programs that we administer also that take a partial state match. Should the state not make that match the federal government, do you think that those funds will cease coming?
I don't think that those funds will cease coming in the short term. If the state is non-compliant over an extended period of time, the federal government could take action adverse to local agencies and withhold payments to local agencies that are defined or determined as pass-through funding sources to local governments. I think given the current economic circumstances, it's not likely that that will happen in the short or intermediate term. If the state were to choose a long-term deferral of payments, then in fact I believe that the state would, excuse me, the federal government would take action to compel the state to pay. That action would be in the form of withholding payments. That would not be inconsistent with actions of the federal government in prior years when the state has failed to fulfill their commitment.
Okay, thank you. For announcements, Supervisor Chiesa.
Yeah, some exciting news. The Keys Improvement Project groundbreaking ceremony is this Saturday, February 7th at 10 a.m., and that will be happening at Bonita Ranch Park. It's on the corner of Lucinda and 10th Streets in Keys. And I would invite, I think all the supervisors have been invited, but the public also to attend. This is much needed improvement to the town of Keys with sidewalks and some drainage, but again, much needed, and it's a pretty exciting time for Keys.
Thank you, Supervisor Chiesa. We will now adjourn to a closed session. County Council Doring.
Mr. Chairman, we have several matters to discuss in closed session today. First being existing litigation involving two cases. First case is Robert K. Homan versus Doctors Medical Center et al. This is Stanislaus County Superior Court case number 373147. Also discussing the case of Building Industry Association of Central California versus County of Stanislaus. That's Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 622705. And those are both held pursuant to Government Code section 54956.9, subdivision A. Additionally, there will be conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation involving one case pursuant to Government Code section 54956.9, subdivision C. We do not expect any report out.
This meeting is adjourned.